This is the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan. And if you're wondering why the J, the answer is I am not a bagpipe player. And if that joke doesn't make any sense to you, I encourage you to check out episode 0, where I explain that joke as well as the purpose of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast, where we talk about faith, family, fitness, finances, and sometimes fun. Well, friends, it's not Sunday night with the dishwasher running and the football in the background. It's actually Sunday afternoon, and I am watching the Texans jump all over the Chiefs on the playoff game here in the first quarter. But the episode's already recorded. Friends, I'm really excited about you listening to this. In this episode, I interview Kerry Green. Now, I hope you know who Kerry Green is, but if you don't, I hope you know who he is beyond this episode. You see, Kerry, I found him about 2 years ago when I was looking for some podcasts online. And there's tons and tons of entrepreneurial podcasts. There's tons and tons of spiritual podcasts. But what I was looking for was a podcast that could encourage Christians who are trying to build businesses and grow what they're doing with a desire to honor God. And there are not many of those. In fact, I must admit that that was in somewhat, the lack of those things was the inspiration for me starting this podcast. But I did find one from Kerry Green. Initially, I found a podcast called Live, Build, Change. And if you look, you can still find those episodes of the Live, Build, Change podcast. And they are about, again, being an entrepreneur, being a Christian, your faith, meeting the marketplace. Those are out there very encouraging. But since then, the last couple years, Kerry has also started another podcast called The Morning Mindset. He's presently focusing on the Morning Mindset podcast and not on Live, Build, Change. And here's the unique thing about The Morning Mindset. He publishes every single day. And it's typically about 5 minutes long. And what he does is he offers a morning devotional and he goes through a book of the Bible. So, for example, he would start in Ephesians 1 and go all the way through the book. And he would use The Morning Mindset to do it. And he would offer some great encouragement along the way. So if you're looking for a 5-minute devotional each and every day, The Morning Mindset is perfect for you to get you there. Kerry does a great job. In addition, Kerry was a pulpit minister. He was a preacher for nearly 20 years. And that ministry, he felt like God was moving him away from. And since then, he has started several entrepreneurial efforts, courses, classes, coaching. He writes theology books. He writes young adult novels. He's got so many things going on. And he also now lives the RV life. He sold his home and is 100% in the RV. So he and his wife, now that his kids have grown up. So guys, there's so many good things in here. Please, 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 if you don't know who Kerry is, listen to this episode. It was immensely encouraging to me during the episode and afterwards. We talked and we even dealt with a few editing issues. He also owns a podcast editing business. This guy's got so many good things going on. After you listen to the episode, go find The Morning Mindset, subscribe to it, listen to it, be encouraged by it, and then go find those old Live, Build, Change episode and be encouraged by it. As always, friends, I appreciate you listening. If you would, when you get done, take a picture of this podcast, throw it up on the socials, share it on your story, and I would also appreciate it greatly if you would go and review this podcast so that more and more folks can find it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait for you to enjoy this interview with Kerry Green. Here we go. Thanks. Well, we are really fortunate to have Kerry Green with us today. Kerry, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in and being on the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast. I've done a small intro, but I know that some of our folks may not know you that well, and I want to make sure they get to know you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Gordon. Thanks for the invite. I know we've chatted about this for a while. It's good to finally connect in this way. I am a retired pastor. Actually, I'm kind of a retired pastor, can't really retire. I've got lots of ministry-oriented things going on all the time of various sorts, and I'm sure we're going to talk about some of that here as we get into the conversation. But I'm also a full-time entrepreneur. I've got a podcast production business or two that I run, and then some online courses and things like that that generate the income that my family and I live on. And we also are just at the end of our child-raising years. Our youngest of five is 16, but is a senior this year. So within the next year or two, she'll be heading out and spreading her wings. And we currently live in a great big Class A RV. We sold our house last December, a year ago, this past month. and then are just traveling. And right now, near my oldest son and his family, so a different kind of lifestyle, and we're just loving it. So it's something I just love to talk to people about. So if anybody's got questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Well, we'll have to get to that. I've taken only about 3 RV trips in my life, but they've been absolutely epic. They've been so much fun. So I hope to get to that. But
yeah.
I really want to talk about your podcast, Live, Build, Change. And so my story of interacting with you was a couple of years ago, I think probably near the formation of your podcast, I was really struggling to find any sort of material that would be a connection between the entrepreneurial world and being a Christian. And then at the same time, since I'm a marathoner, I'm always looking for some daily content to be encouraged by. And so when I found Live, Build, Change, it was all of that. I got an opportunity to hear from you about being a pastor and being an entrepreneur. And then you also publish daily with devotion. So tell us a little bit about the podcast, how it got started, and where you hope it goes.
Yeah, well, at this point, I've kind of branched those two things out into different things. Live, Build, Change was the podcast I started at first, and then we had a Morning Mindset edition of that podcast. That's the daily one that you were talking about. And that daily one just really took off. That audience seemed very interested in the morning devotional and, as I always say, get your mind aligned with the truth of God for the day. And that particular interest was growing while the interest in the combination of faith and business together was an interest, but it wasn't nearly as big. So I split the two, and I've got 2 podcasts now from that same source. Live, Build, Change is actually a podcast I haven't published anything on for a long time just because my life and my business have been so busy. But it is a podcast, as you said, that's focused around the integration of faith and business, and the Live, Build, and Change stand for Live Your Faith, Build Your Business, and Change Your World, because I believe that Christians who use their business to fund causes and support people and things like that really can make a huge change in the world. The other one, which is the one I think is of more interest to me anyway, is the Morning Mindset. And it is a daily podcast, 7 days a week. It's about 5 minutes long. And I started it because I had this understanding just from my own life that if I don't get my mind in the right place first thing in the day, the whole rest of the day can spiral in directions that I don't want it to go. And so I decided there were probably a lot of other people out there who were dealing with the same phenomenon in their own life. And so on January 1st, 2017, I started the podcast. Actually, let me think here. Was it 2017? Yeah, 2017. I started the podcast with hopes that people who are looking for some kind of a New Year's resolution would find the podcast and jump on board. And that's exactly what happened. We started out with 0 subscribers, went to 30, 50, 100 within a couple of months. And then within 6 months, we were up to about 2,000
wow.
people listening every day. And it's just taken off. There are a number of people downloading from countries all over the world, and I think our highest day so far has been 27,000 downloads on one day.
Wow.
And those were not all of that daily episode. Many of them were previous episodes. So the daily count is probably right around 8,500 right now. And that is just so encouraging. And we've branched out and started a second partners only kind of a podcast, and are really starting to build a support base. My dream really is to go full time doing the Morning Mindset and related ministries in time. So it's going to take a while to get there, but I'm very encouraged with what's happening.
Well, it's incredibly needed. Your Morning Mindsets aren't that long, but they provide really good, solid content. And with subscriptions and that kind of thing, it shows up just each day. And I found it just really, really encouraged and helpful. And I also knew that I didn't have time for a 30-minute devotional podcast every day. And so it's really, really been effective. For me as a minister, sometimes it's just hard to get really good, succinct encouragement. And as a pastor, you run everything through a theological grid, and all of a sudden I get caught up in preaching styles. And I'm just going to say I've really enjoyed it because it's wonderfully succinct, it's impactful, it's Jesus-focused. I'm sure you can speak to it, but I think that's been the appeal to it, at least from my end. There's tons of podcasts out there. Kerry, what do you think the appeal is? What do you think has caught on?
Well, I think you knew that there's the short duration. I think a lot of people appreciate because they can listen to it while they're commuting to work, while they're exercising on the treadmill, while they're, you know, standing at the mirror putting on their makeup. Just it doesn't take a big investment of time. But because, as you said, we're sticking to Scripture and we're really trying to apply it to life and the everyday circumstances that we all face, it really can have a big impact for that day and help you get your mind just focused on one thing that can help you to turn the day in the right direction. And I think that's a big part of it. I also have heard from a lot of listeners that there's something about it that I think is attributed only to the Spirit of God here, but it's that the Holy Spirit seems to use the messages in very timely ways in people's lives. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but for myself, back in the day when I was using my almost for his highest as a daily devotional, there were days where the topic that Oswald Chambers addressed was exactly what I needed to hear, given the circumstances of my life. Well, I started getting responses from people along that line that, you know, today's podcast, for example, was exactly what I needed to hear. And they'll tell me their story, and it was as if, you know, I was peeking in their window and knew their life when I recorded the episode, and it wasn't that at all. It's just God, I feel, is directing me in the content, and it's helping people all over the world, and I'm just so thankful.
Well, and I think you're right. I've had that experience. I discovered My Utmost for His Highest in college, and I know that somewhere around August, there's one entitled The Brave Comradeship of God. And I remember reading that in college, really struggling, not feeling that God could use me, and just resonating with that one in particular. In fact, so much so, I still remember the title. And I think your daily content, that's got to be what's going on. I mean, the Holy Spirit connecting your daily content to where people are at. What's the transition been like for you to go from being a pulpit minister for 20 years, preaching 20 to 40-minute sermons, whatever your average was, to preparing...
I was 40 in my case.
Yeah, what's 40? Yeah, I think I'm 36 or 37, so I'm right there with you. What's that transition been like in terms of preparing a big sermon every week to preparing, you know, 7 Bible studies?
Yeah, it's a great question. The preparation for the morning mindset really isn't all that bad, and I don't say that in a, I don't know, in a boastful way. It's just simply, I think, a combination of experience. You know, preparing messages every week for 20 years, you kind of get a rhythm and a way that you go about it that works for you. And then you kind of get comfortable speaking just kind of impromptu in counseling situations and discipleship conversations and things like that. So that, you know, I'll basically spend a few minutes reading through the passage that I'm going to use for a particular day and can just sit down and record it right there on the spot without a lot of prep and without a lot of outlines and things like that. You know, there's times where I stumble over my words and I have to stop and re-record things and that kind of thing, but it really hasn't been much different. I would say that, you know, the same sort of intention goes into it, the same sort of prayer goes into it. It's just a small bite-sized chunk.
Well, Kerry, one of the questions that I'd love to hear from you, and hopefully folks in listening would as well, I mean, you've transitioned out from pulpit ministry, and after 20 years, and you describe yourself as a pastor and as an entrepreneur. Could you tell us a little bit about what that process was like, maybe some of the emotions behind it, and how you came to the decision?
Yeah, that's a great question. There was a lot of emotion behind it. My wife and I, after serving for almost 20 years, were just feeling really burned out, I think is the short way to say it. And we got counsel from some of the leadership in our particular denomination that we were a part of at the time. And they suggested that we take a sabbatical. So we approached that with our church family, and they were gracious enough to allow that. And they actually gave us a 4-month sabbatical. And so our job in the sabbatical was to rest, get our batteries recharged, just to to take time away from full-time ministries, and we did that. And we came back, and it was probably 6 to 7 months into our return that the burnout feeling was there again. And we just began praying about it. What does this mean? And where could this be leading? And it just became pretty evident after a while that the passion and the desire for shepherding a small congregation like we were was leaving. And neither of us really could explain it. I expected I would retire from ministry at a ripe old age of 70 or 80, you know, and be done at that point. But it seems like the Lord moved us out sooner. And I have had many questions about that, honestly, throughout the time since. And in that transition, we had to figure out ways to support ourselves income-wise, because we gave the church 6 months' notice and helped transition ourselves out and get things in other people's hands so that things could continue on at the church. But then, you know, the day came when I was faced with no income and no job, really. And so, you know, I had some online things going, but nothing that was generating tons of income. And I tried to become a mortgage loan officer at one point and actually did that for a little over a year. And, you know, had moderate success, but it just didn't feel like a good fit. And so I tried to make all of my online things work, you know, that entrepreneurial side. And it was just really a struggle. I was having a hard time. And I decided one day that I was going to go and just look for a regular job. And my wife and I had talked about that and felt like it was the best thing. And so in the little mountain town in Colorado where we lived at the time, I went to all the places that I thought might have a position that could support the lifestyle that we have. You know, at that time we still had 3 kids in the house and you know, quite a bit of expenses, and I just couldn't find anything that was sufficient enough. You know, one paid $15 an hour, one paid $17 an hour, you know, and that was pushing it for our small town. Mm-hmm. So it just became evident, if anything's going to happen, if we're going to stay in this town, I'm going to have to make it happen myself. So I really dug into the online stuff and started creating courses and building a business eventually of doing podcast production and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord's really blessed it and it's grown. And all the while, I still have this desire to teach. I feel like I've got gifts of teaching and I feel like I'm not being a good steward if I'm not using those in some way. So it was somewhere, you know, three years in where the morning mindset started coming to mind. And you know, in the meantime, I've been producing the Live Build Change podcast and another Christian family-oriented podcast, and you know, the teaching part just wouldn't stop. And so the transition was a bumpy one. It was a strange one. Yeah. And honestly, it sometimes feels like it's still going on. You know, we're not sure where it's all headed with the morning mindset, but as I said, it's looking real promising that maybe we can do that full-time. We'll see.
Well, did you find a lot of encouragement as you were leaving pulpit ministry, or how was that for you? I mean, what were people around you like? What were kind of things they were saying to you?
Yeah, there were people in the church we were presently in who both understood and then others who didn't. I think it's natural that some of those folks that you've walked alongside would take it kind of personally. You know, feel like you're abandoning them, which was not how we felt about it at all, but it was, you know, it was what it was. We had to leave, and the main reason was because it just didn't feel right continuing on if I didn't have my heart in it fully.
Right.
It's one of those jobs that I feel like really needs that sort of commitment. And so the people who were not a part of that church family, many of them understood right where we were. We got support from others who got it and were all for us branching out and figuring out other things. And, you know, it was an interesting and difficult time in a lot of different ways, just because we really didn't know all the answers and we didn't know exactly what it was leading to. And so, you know, some of the questions you get, you didn't know how to answer. And we just had to do our best at it.
Well, I mean, I applaud you for making bold, faithful decisions. I know that going into ministry is a bold, faithful decision, and leaving it as well. So I applaud you for following what you feel like God was calling you to do. And I'm sure it was bumpy with people you love and people who loved you and people who didn't quite understand.
Yeah.
But again, I applaud you for just taking a big, bold step of faith.
Well,
tell us about You know, some of the entrepreneurial things you've created. You mentioned courses, and I know that's been part of your story. Tell us about some of the entrepreneurial things that you have done or are doing.
Yeah. Well, you and I were talking before the recording started about an online course that I created that was actually going great guns. It's one of the first things that I did that really took off. And it was based on that experience I had as a loan officer. And we got into a little bit of legal trouble with that. The organization that oversees the tests that mortgage loan officers have to take in order to get licensed started investigating my course, thinking that I was guilty of copyright infringement using some of their material. And, you know, obviously by no means was I intending to do so, and I didn't believe that I was. And so, you know, we had to go to court for that thing, and it shut down that course. But it really gave me a vision for what can happen when you create something that people really need and you create a resource that really helps them, you know. And so those business maxims of know, like, and trust, you know, people need to know who you are, they need to like you, and then they need to trust you. It really came through as I was able to build kind of a small little following of people around that course. And now in other ways, you know, through the podcast and other things I'm doing. So the business side of me is fun. I really like it because it's a place where I can, you know, kind of have a creative outlet, use some writing skills, use some graphic design skills, website skills, podcast skills, I mean, all kinds of things that I honestly didn't know that I had. And it's been a joyful ride in many ways. You know, it has its ups and downs and is a challenge, but it's not one that I would trade for anything at this point, unless, you know, the morning mindset took off, then I might consider it. But we've got to see what the Lord's doing there, and we'll walk each step just as he enables us to take it.
Well, one of the things that I've heard from you as you've encouraged people towards entrepreneurship is I remember you speaking once in one of your podcasts about the law of attraction. I don't know if you even remember addressing that. I remember you addressing it on Facebook. But in the entrepreneur world, there's almost no more common topic than the law of attraction. And I often say, and so what I'm going to ask you in a minute is your opinion, but I often say the law of attraction is so close to being right, it's just not, though. Like, I truly believe that we are called to a godly mindset and a faith-filled mindset. I don't think, as a runner, I'll tell you, if I decide my run's going to be awful, it's typically awful. And if I decide it's going to be okay, I usually handle it better. And every parent will tell their kid when the parent goes, oh, today's going to be awful, you'll say, well, don't go to school with that mindset. I mean, and so there's elements, of course, where our mindset affects our physiology and our approach to the day. Unfortunately, the law of attraction goes so far as to speak of the universe responding almost as if the universe physically will line itself up with your mindset. That's a rough description of the law of attraction, but it is the topic that every entrepreneur comes up with. So you've addressed it before. Tell me what you think about the law of attraction. I know we didn't even talk about this in the pre-episode, but tell me what you
think. No problem.
Tell me what you think, how mindset affects everything from entrepreneurship to being a pastor, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the reason I call my podcast The Morning Mindset is because I believe mindset is vital. It's very biblical. There's many places where we're told in the epistles, especially, you know, prepare your mind for action, set your mind on these things. You know, that's a decision that we get to make every day. It's a gift from God that we have this thing called a mind that is so powerful. And, you know, the old Norman Vincent Peale book, The Power of Positive Thinking, I feel the same way about it as you just described the law of attraction. It's so close to being right, but it's just not. Because too much of the time, what's communicated is that if you just think positive, great things are going to happen to you. And the way the law of attraction says it is that your positive energy creates some sort of a positive vibration in the universe, and it brings positive things to you. There is absolutely no science behind that, and actually, biblically, that's not the way it goes either. Biblically, we are to set our minds on the things of God. You know, truth is what we're to set our mind on. The law of attraction often will encourage people to set their mind on wishful thinking, you know, things they want to happen, things they hope will happen, and it almost makes the wishing and the hoping into a mantra that is a formula that brings the goodness. Mm-hmm. And the Bible just doesn't communicate that way. The Bible says that when we set our mind on the truth as God sees it, then we're equipped to handle the things that come in the day. It's no guarantee that good things are going to come, but I can tell you this. When you have a positive outcome and you choose to see things as opportunities rather than obstacles, you have a bigger view of God. You have a bigger view of what His presence in your life is able to do. And so I don't know if the law of attraction is the way we should be talking about those believers. It feels to me like we should be talking about, you know, the law of God being the law of love, and we set our minds to obey it, you know, and I don't know. There's all kinds of things I could say about it, but overall, I just feel like believers have to be really careful about stuff like that, because it's, like you said, it's so close but not quite there.
Yeah, and when you look at James, and it's easy for me to reference, I just preached on it this past Sunday, but I mean, James really rebukes anyone who sets their plans apart from the will of God. I mean, he calls it arrogant and evil. Yeah. And then he says, you know, instead what you should do is say, if the Lord wills. And so what I love about that, mm-hmm. that instead, is he's not telling anyone not to plan. In fact, it's a tacit endorsement of planning. But what he's saying is, but submitting all those things to the will of God. And so I do feel like when we're following a biblical will of God or a calling of will of God, that we should fully and mindfully be committed to it. And we should recognize that it's what God's calling us to. And sometimes that is wonderful, wonderful things. But we do know from Scripture God also calls us to really, really difficult things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and
I have thought many times about biblical characters in light of the law of attraction, at least the way that it's promoted. And I think if there's truth to this law of attraction, that you're able to set up vibrations that bring positive things back to you, then obviously nobody told the Apostle Paul, and nobody told Joseph, and nobody told Job. You know, these are godly people who experienced horrendous things in their lives. Mm-hmm. And the law of attraction, which have you believe, that's because they weren't thinking positively. You know, well, that just isn't the case in those situations. The fact of what you brought up is the truth, that God is sovereign. And God often brings suffering into our lives intentionally for His good purposes. Sometimes we see what those are. Sometimes we don't. And when we don't, that's where faith is required, to trust that He's good and He's doing good anyway, in spite of what we're experiencing. And I believe that sort of an attitude is a positive attitude, and it does honor God at the same time.
Yeah, I think it does. And I want to, I don't know if it's where I'm going to wind up engaging, it may very well be, but I feel like there's a course correction that the law of attraction thinking, when applied biblically, leads to some of the poor name it and claim it type theology, where if I just believe I think there's an other option, and I think part of that is something that's worthy to be explored. But if you're looking for biblical examples, if you read the Psalms, if anybody would have gotten it would have been David. I mean you can read his faithfulness in some of the Psalms, and you're like, well, then clearly, and you might say, well, David got all those things, but ultimately he didn't. And so I love the willingness of some folks. I don't mind reading some of those materials. I don't mind engaging some folks in that, because it's a challenge to my sometimes dour Reformed theology. I think you're familiar with Reformed theology. I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've heard tinges of it in what you've preached. But, it's a helpful contrast to dour pessimistic thinking, but I do think what you're offering in the morning mindset is doing that. It's giving folks, like, hey, you have 5 minutes while you're shaving, you have 5 minutes in front of the mirror, just set your mind on these things. So I really want to commend you. I think you're offering something that is well needed, and I hope it's enabling people to springboard into deeper and more consistent theology. I hope folks are following back up with you and letting you know that that's happening.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I am hopeful that the morning mindset is just whetting people's appetites to know more, to understand better for themselves. You know, the way that I typically approach it is to teach verse by verse, and I feel like people learn from that model how to do it for themselves, and I'm hopeful that they're digging in further. I did have one listener who sent me an email the other day, and he said his description of the morning mindset is 5 minutes of exegetical yumminess, which I thought was hilarious.
Nice.
I never had my preteen described as yumminess, but I'm glad that he felt that way.
I'm holding out for that compliment as well. I'm glad you got it. Well, Carrie, tell us a little bit about the RV life. Now, I'll couch it with this. Our denomination's national conference is usually up and down the East Coast, and two or three summers, I think it was three, about five of us loaded up in the RV that one of our parents had, a buddy of mine's parent, and that was my first experience, and I'm telling you, it was a blast. The drive was a blast. Setting up at the campground was a blast. The evenings were the blast. Making do when we realized that we had forgotten something was even fun. Now, we only did it for 5 or 6 days at a time. Tell us about how you came to sell it all and get out on the RV. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we lived in a little town in the middle of Colorado that was just this gorgeous mountain town. And we lived in a fairly sizable house. When we first purchased it, my wife's parents had moved in with us, and we still had four children at home at that time. So we had plenty of people to fill up the house. Over the years, kids started moving out of the house due to health concerns. My wife's parents had to move out because of the altitude and move to a different place that had a lower elevation. And so our house just seemed to be getting bigger and bigger. At the same time, I had transitioned out of full-time ministry and was actually working from home doing remote work. My entire team that I've built for the podcast business is a remote team. So there was nothing really tying us to our location anymore. And so as our youngest son moved out of the house, that left one kid still at home. My wife and I started thinking, you know, we're moving toward a season where it's just going to be you and me. And we want to do something that, you know, is, so to speak, for us, something that we will enjoy together, because, you know, I always can resonate with Bill Cosby's comment, you know, when he looked at his kids all the time as they were growing up, he would say, I didn't marry these people. I married one people, you know,
right.
And that's who I want to be with, you know, and that's really how we felt. We want to be with each other and make sure that we are able to have fun doing that. So we started talking about what were the options, and really it was my wife's idea first to buy an RV. And it would require us to sell a house, and it requires to get a certain price for the house. So we basically just started knocking on doors and investigating whether it would work. And each of those doors opened and actually just flew open much quicker than we thought it would. The first step for us was just to go to our friend who's a realtor and find out how much our house would probably sell for. And at the time, the market was really good. And he priced it just an estimate about $10,000 higher than what we thought we would need in order to make the whole thing happen. Mm. And so we decided, well, maybe we should put it on the market and see what happens. And Gordon, the house sold in 6 days.
Wow.
It was just unbelievable. And it sold for the price we needed. So, you know, that happened. And so then it was a matter of, you know, finding the RV, and we were able to get exactly the model we needed in order for me to have a small office in it. And everything just rolled and rolled and rolled until finally, you know, here we are picking up our RV in Fort Worth, Texas. And it's just an amazing, amazing thing. And so fast forward a year, we've been in it just over a year now and have been all over the United States and really are enjoying the life. We like being able to be where we need to be when we need to be there. We like being able to visit friends in various parts of the country. And we like being able to, you know, just enjoy different parts of God's creation. One of the things I promised my wife when we moved out of the house was that she wasn't going to lose her view, because we had this great view of 14,000-foot peaks right out our window. I said, you're just changing one view for thousands of others. And that's the way we're trying to focus it, because we've seen some amazing places, you know, Niagara Falls, Devil's Tower, Lake Havasu, amazing places, and we're just excited to see even more.
And I imagine there had to be a pretty massive amount of downsizing for you guys, right? I mean, you just had to...
Yeah, 98% of it had to go. So we had an estate sale and sold just about everything. And thankfully, neither of us are very deeply sentimental when it comes to things. You know, our value, we put value in the people and the relationships. And so the things could go pretty easily. I think we got one small box in the basement of our RV. That's what they call it, the basement.
Yeah.
That's got, you know, keepsakes in it, but not much.
Well, when we moved from planting our first church to the second church, I would bet we probably got rid of about half of what we owned. And so after we lived with a family for a few months, then we lived in an apartment for 2 years, and now we have a home. And man, oh man, it feels like it's time to start selling again. Oh, I love. I'm not going.
Yeah.
Anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just like, wow, we got a lot of stuff in here. And so. There was an absolute freedom in just kind of downsizing, you know. So we see the need to get rid of some stuff again. I envy your light living. I really do. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it is interesting how you fill up the space you have. That's for sure.
It does. Carrie, right now, if folks want to connect with what you're doing, where's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, I think the best place would be at my personal website. It's carrie@carriegreen.com. Actually, that's my email. They're welcome to email me, but my personal website is carriegreen.com. They'll find the Morning Mindset there. They'll find a way to contact me, and they'll find all kinds of cool resources, and I welcome anybody.
And you've written several books, haven't you? I mean, tell us real quick about your books, and I want people to make sure they know everything that you've done.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah, I think the first book that I ever wrote was one called Moving Toward God, and it was a spiritual growth handbook, basically. It's a workbook style for people who have just come to the Christian faith for the first time. And so it walks through everything from salvation and baptism through the doctrine of Christ living in us and through us, and is 19 lessons. It's a fill-in-the-blank kind of a thing with illustrations and rooted in Scripture. That's my very first book, all the way to my most recent books. Actually, I'm working on the third book in a fiction series that I wrote based on some stories that I had told my kids just out of my head when they were little, and they kept encouraging me to write books about these. And so based on that, I wrote this trilogy of books, or I'm writing, rather, the third of the trilogy that are Christian-oriented sort of fiction, and with a fantasy twist. It's back in the Middle Ages type of era, and a young boy who becomes a dragon slayer and is working hard to live his life well, but at the same time face these dangers that are apparent in his life. And so it's a book I'm trying to use as a fable that teaches us things about our own selves and about our own life. And you know, besides that, I've got some entrepreneurial books. I've got some books on spiritual devotional methods. I've got a marriage improvement project, and I even have a children's picture book that I created way back in the day when the only software I had to do it with was MS Paint and a mouse.
Yeah.
And so all the pictures are done with MS Paint and a mouse. So there's all kinds of stuff. You can find all that on the website as well.
Yeah, it looks like you've got a books tab, and the Dragon Slayer series looks fantastic. How's the third book coming along?
You know, it's been coming along for about 2 years now. I'm very much behind. But I've got probably half of it actually written in rough draft form. So if it's finished in 2020, I will be very happy.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I want to take a moment to just commend you, Carrie. You've made a couple of really big leaps in the last couple of years, walking away from pulpit ministry into a new ministry, selling your house and going into the RV life. You've made some real big leaps of faith that just require a great trust of God. And then commend you for the growth of the Morning Mindset, that it's just providing solid, solid biblical content in a bite-sized chunk that just people need. So God's using you to accomplish some really good stuff. So, and thank you. You've been an encouragement to me, especially in understanding the entrepreneurial world as faith interacts with it. So thank you so much.
Well, I so appreciate that, Gordon. Thank you.
Well, listen, we should circle back when you get ready to publish that third book. You need to reach out, and we'll do a podcast on it and see if we can do anything new to get some sales up and get some promo behind that third book, okay?
You know, I totally appreciate that. Thank you, Gordon.
Yeah, Carrie, thanks so much, and I look forward to talking to you soon, okay?
You bet. Bye-bye.